Men are debating at a fireside in this beautiful land of Oz. Could heaven be a better place than home? Well, supposing that it was. If heaven is in some future, well, that tomorrow's so unclear. Then home for me, I guess, could better be nowhere else but here.
Let's head now to the sunny Kimberley and the town of Kununurra. That's where the annual Kimberley Writers Festival is getting underway. A host of storytellers, authors, poets and illustrators have gathered in town for the only Writers Festival that's held in remote regional WA. The location means that the events are just as likely to be held in a national park or cruising down the Ord River as they are in the local library. Sounds great, doesn't it? Two of the guests at this year's festival are Norman Jorgensen, a children's author, and Dub Leffler, an Indigenous children's illustrator. The two of them have been touring remote schools this week in the lead-up to the festival. They're speaking with Claire Nichols. Norman Jorgensen, Dub Leffler, welcome to RN Books and Arts.
Thank you. It's a real honour. I've been itching to get on RN for years and years.
I'm so glad the opportunity has arrived. And I'm a bit jealous because I'm speaking to you from wet and rainy Perth. How are things in Kununurra today?
They're pretty good, I have to say.
It's hot. It's really hot. It's great.
Now, I'd love to hear some more about your tour, but it'd be great to get to know you both a little bit first. If we can start with you, Norman.
Yes.
How would you describe yourself as an author?
I'm a 12-year-old boy who never really grew up. I'm in the aging body of a writer, but the head is still 12, and I think it'll always stay 12. And happily, most of the other 12-year-olds I write for seem to recognise something of them in me, which is good.
And you have a personal connection to the Kimberley as well, is that right?
Yes, I was born in Broome. And I've got a new book coming out called The Smuggler's Curse, which I've set in Broome in 1895, and Dub is launching it.
So, look, you really probably can't complain about the heat then, Norman, if you're
she'll be used
born
to it,
and bred in Broome.
I love the cold.
And Dub, you're an illustrator but also a writer. Could you just describe, you know, what your work looks like for us?
It's probably the best stuff you'll ever see in your life.
I love that.
Yeah, I'm underplaying it, obviously. I guess I like to reflect the colour of the country in my work and not make it too convoluted so everybody can get something out of it, if that makes any sense.
It does. What it really struck me having a look at some of your work is your incredible use of perspective and viewing things from angles that you wouldn't expect. I particularly liked one. There was something cooking in the oven and the view was from inside the oven looking out at the kids.
Oh, thank you. I like to play with different views just to make it interesting.
And you guys are touring together around the Kimberley. Had you met before?
No, not at all. We met yesterday at the airport for the first time, and we've been getting on like a house on fire. It's been great.
Well, thank goodness for that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we're blood brothers now.
We are. Yep, absolutely.
Now the tour's been getting you out to some pretty unique locations. Dub, perhaps you can tell us where you've been and about the kids you've been meeting.
Well, the first day we were here, we went to Wyndham. And, I mean, the kids are fantastic. They're chaotic and they're fantastic at the same time. And then just yesterday, we went to Kalumburu, which is, you know, you're flying over some of the most beautiful country you'll ever see. And once again, just meeting some amazing kids. Yeah, it's, you know, they can be rough around the edges, but the centre is gold.
That's fantastic. And what have you two been doing with them?
Oh, I've been storytelling and telling them lies about my early life and how I grew up in the country like they did and the terrible, terrible things I did and you know, the awful teachers I had, that sort of thing. They seem to relate to that. And then talking about the research I've done for my books and places I've been. And I've been surprised because I've been talking about Vikings and it's out of their experience of a lot of them, but they've been hanging on it and been highly interested, which is very encouraging.
What about you, Dub? What have you been doing with the kids?
We've been getting up to all sorts of hijinks, Claire. You know, doing lots of drawing and lots of drawing games. And there's been a few portraits been drawn, mainly of the kids, and the kids sort of... you know, egging each other on. And
that left-hand, right-hand stuff you were doing was really impressive.
Yeah, we're delving into some pretty deep stuff, left-hand, like the left brain and right brain stuff. Yeah, some really cool stuff with the kids.
And Norman, have you heard, you know, you've been talking about storytelling. Have you heard some good stories from the kids themselves?
All the time. They end up doing more talking than I do. I mention something and I get 20 hands go up and they're all going to tell me their version of the go-kart they built or the car crash they saw or that sort of thing. And I find it fascinating, the perspective that they have on the big wide world around them.
Can we talk a little bit about the stories that inspired you? Norman, I believe when you were a kid, it was all about The Secret Seven by Enid Blyton. Do you remember what it was about that story that really captured you as a child?
I do remember the day clearly, Isabel. I had been reading school reading books, Dick and Dora Ran Up the Hill, that sort of thing. And my dad came home on payday. He was a public servant, so he got paid every second Thursday. And he bought me the very first Secret Seven book. I think the town librarian had recommended it. And it was funny. It was the funniest thing I'd ever read. It was up until then that reading books are dull. They're seriously dull. And so I just devoured them. Every second Thursday, he would buy me another one. And they cost a small fortune, but I really appreciated him doing that. And he kept it going for years and years. And so he gave me a love of reading, which I've never lost. And it was so bad that when I left school, I went to work in a bookshop, and I've been in the book trade all my life.
And, of course, writing your own children's stories.
Yes.
Do you see traces of The Secret Seven in your work?
I don't, but everyone else does. Yes, some of my friends who are my age recognise every single setting, I'm afraid.
And, Dub, what books inspired you when you were a child?
I used to read a lot of encyclopedias. Believe it or not, a lot of illustrated encyclopedias, and I actually have most of the set. It was a Childcraft.
I had a set of those.
Yeah. I think it was. They had a profound impact on me.
They had great adventure stories in them.
Yeah, there was one that I still look at them today. They're in pretty good nick too, Claire. There's one that's the story of the sea, and it has stories about the Sargasso Sea and ghost ships, you know, the Mary Celeste and pirates, and it's had a big effect on my work, you know, as well as I think You Can't Get Past Storm Boy.
Oh.
Yeah, that's like a life-changing book when you see that, yeah.
Now, Dub, you're currently working on a book about Sorry Day, I believe, for the National Library of Australia. How hard is it to take, you know, a momentous occasion like Sorry Day, the idea of the stolen generation, and make that into a book aimed at children?
Yeah, I guess it's, well, I draw on my own experience from being adopted out. And so, you know, from day one. And so it's something that I've always known. So I just approach it that way. And I just think about how I felt when I was in primary school. And it can be a fine line. I've cried when I've been illustrating this book. It's such an important work, and it's you know, you don't want to exclude anybody. The ethos is inclusion. Everybody has to be involved with this story.
How will the story take shape?
Well, it'll come out next year, and it's split into two parts, sort of then and now. When the stolen generations were in their heyday, and when Sorry Day was being announced by Kevin Rudd, it's quite a long process. It's one that's it has to be a balance of, you know, you can't lose the seriousness, but it has to, you know, the children have to be, you know, they have to like it in a way.
Is there a temptation to try to sugarcoat some of that story of the stolen generation?
That's a really good question. I think I don't think there's a temptation. I think you just need to show that the door is open and allow others to walk through it, and you invite them to push it open wider.
Norman, I'm interested in your opinion on this because you've also had some experience in talking about difficult history in your books, and I'm thinking here particularly about your book In Flanders Fields.
Oh, yes.
Can you just run us briefly through the story of that book?
It's a very simple story. It's set in the huge horrors of World War One in Flanders. And Christmas, on the very first Christmas, there was a truce, and a robin is caught on the barbed wire, and a young Australian soldier sees it and walks out into no man's land to free this bird in spite of all the Germans aiming rifles at him. And he frees the bird and walks back to his own trenches. And as he walks away, he hears the Germans singing Stille Nacht, and the same carol continues in English when he gets back to his own lines, Holy Night. And so trying to get across the idea of this one moment of compassion in the madness of World War One, in the 4 years madness. And I think in a disaster like World War One, it's too big to write about. You have to pick one small moment and humanise it, which is what I was trying to do.
And once again, you don't really sugarcoat the reality of the war and the reality of the situation man finds himself in. Do you have a bit of back and forth when you're writing something like that about what to include for children in a book like that?
That's a tough one. Often in children's books, the story is told in the pictures, not just the words. And so, you know, for instance, if I said it was a dark and stormy sky, and then the illustrator draws the dark and stormy sky, you could take all your words come out because it's just ramming the message home. And so in the illustrations, there are some quite horrific scenes in the background. But we found that really small children just gloss over them. They're beyond their experience and they don't notice them. But older kids do pick up on it and are moved by it.
Do we sometimes underestimate what children are capable of dealing with and understanding through stories?
I try not to. I always treat them as if they're adults. I treat young children as if they're adults and adults if they're children, and it seems to work reasonably well. The smaller they are, I think the more perceptive they are, the more, because they're trying to learn. Everything around them is new and exciting and they want to know about it, and so they try hard.
All right. Now, you guys have been giving tips to the children this week. Perhaps we can finish up with some tips for the wider Australian public. And Norman, perhaps we can start with you. If I want to write a fantastic story, you got one big tip to help me on my way?
Yes, I do. The very main character has to be completely sympathetic. You have to really, really like them, because if you don't, you'll get tired of reading about what happens to them. You know, when they're hanging from their fingers over a pit of crocodiles, you really don't want them to fall into the crocodile pit. And then the other bit of advice I give all the kids is use all your senses. Any idiot can write about what they see, but you have to stand still and listen really carefully and hear the waves crashing in your ears, or the wind blowing through them, or the sweat running down the back of your neck, or the smell of the tar in your nose, or the salt from the beach. That's, think of seaweed. You put all of these little details into stories to make them authentic. And you sound a lot more like a professional than just writing about what you see.
Dub, a tip for the wannabe illustrators out there?
I think show us what we don't see. It's like everybody has an idea of how Africa looks. But show us something that we don't know.
All right.
Yeah.
That's good advice. I like that one. Haven't heard that before. Mm. Yeah.
Handy tips from illustrator Dub Leffler and writer Norman Jorgensen, speaking to Claire Nichols. The Kimberley Writers Festival is running today through till Sunday. And hey, on the topic of writers festivals, tomorrow, Saturday morning, I'll be hosting a session at the Melbourne Writers Festival. It's with the Afghan-American novelist and paediatrician, Nadia Hashimi. That's at 11:30 at Fed Square. And if you're in town, why don't you come along? It's a free event. Be great to see you there.
Discover the best of RN on Facebook. Simply search for ABC RN.